You're listening to the Full and Thriving Podcast, a place where courageous women come to break free from food obsession, heal their relationship with their body, and strive to live a life that's present, lighthearted, and meaningful. If you're listening, my wish is that this podcast serves as a catalyst that inspires you to nourish your body, nurture your mind, and energize your spirit. I'm your host, Meg McCabe, a certified life coach and eating disorder recovery coach with a PhD in having a good time. Just kidding about that last part. Anyway, thank you so much for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, everybody. Today I wanted to talk about 10 ways we can take up more space. And in recovery world, we often hear people using the expression, it's okay to take up space. And you might be wondering, why is there such an emphasis on this? What is the big deal with taking up space? In this episode, I'll be sharing why this saying is so important to women within a recovery context and within our society at large. I'll also be sharing why it's important for you to take up space, even if there's a part of you that resists this concept altogether. And at the end, I'll share 10 ways you can practice taking up space in your life instead of staying as small and unnoticed as possible. Before we dive in, I want to share a little bit about what I've been up to because this is a solo show. And as many of you know, I'm getting adjusted into a new house, and also Dan and I have picked a wedding date, which is March 8th, which is International Women's Day. And this is really exciting and also coming up really fast, which is a lot for me because there's so much planning. We need to pick a DJ, we need to pick a florist, all of that. But one thing I really love while my career is busy, wedding planning is busy, but one thing I've been loving right now is really embracing New England in the fall. Dan and I both grew up here. We love New England. We laugh. We say we're basic fall betches together. And so Dan and I hosted a little backyard gathering this weekend that we named Fall Fest. And we had some of our friends and their kids over to our house for Sunday afternoon cider / fall beer tasting, dinner, and then some caramel apple dipping with a bunch of toppings. And I was amazed and impressed by how hardcore people took the apple dipping experience. They were really loving the caramel apple dipping and embracing the toppings and chowing down. And that was really fun because I wasn't sure how that was going to go. It was a really gorgeous day. And a few friends came in from out of town. And honestly, the older I get, the more I realize that the people I surround myself with are what make life magical. Community is so important to me. And I actually had my astrology chart done. And it turns out community is aligned with my life's purpose and life path, which is so cool. And I really feel that. And I'm starting to embrace it on a local level because Dan and I have decided to essentially settle down here after jumping around, at least I did, from one city to the next for almost a decade. And you know, while I lead an online recovery community that I love and feels so close to my heart, I realize that community and friendship are two of my strongest values, and I want to bring that into my life in person. So it's really been a lovely fall, just embracing friends, embracing fall traditions. I went to Salem, Massachusetts with a few friends, and Dan the weekend before, and we did all the fun witch and Halloween tours. That was awesome. I'm having the cider donuts. I'm doing all the things. I'm having the kettle corn. I hope you guys are having a lovely fall too. And if this all sounds very foreign to you, please come visit New England in the fall. This is the best time to be here. But anyway, I know that solo shows don't happen all the time, and so many of you like to hear the latest of my personal life, which makes me so happy. I'm grateful for that. But I do have some planned recovery content for all of you today. So let's just dive into it. Today, we are talking about the concept of taking up space. What does it actually mean? Why does it matter? And I think the first example and the most literal that comes to mind is taking up space physically. This simple reminder to take up space is a gentle way of giving folks permission that they are allowed to exist in their body and the natural size it's meant to be, regardless of whatever the beauty standards are. However, this saying is just so much deeper than that. It's loaded with historical context, and when looked through the lens of feminism, it is a radical suggestion. It is truly radical for a woman to take up space in this world. And throughout history, women were not encouraged to take up space whatsoever. They were taught to do the literal opposite and also try to make others feel as comfortable as possible by staying small, meek, and accommodating. So, historically speaking, women have been taught to stay small physically and on a behavioral level where we're accommodating, people pleasing, putting others before ourselves, being quiet, not having strong opinions, you know, and this has translated into so many harmful structures in society, such as diet culture. So women have been brainwashed to stay small through the patriarchy since, honestly, probably the beginning of time. I do not have a date for you on that. But not just physically small, but with personality, opinion, achievements, etc. And examples of this can be found throughout history. So the reminder here is taking up space is a radical act, and it's important for you to think about and practice in your day-to-day. But I wanted to bring up some historical examples of how women were trained essentially to stay small. And if you feel comfortable with the concept of taking up space, it might be because you've been enculturated to also hold these values of being quiet, small, unnoticed, because that's really historically what women were taught to be like. And their value was placed on being this way. So for instance, during the Victorian era in the 19th century, there was a strong emphasis on women's proper behavior. And women were expected to be modest, reserved, and primarily confined to domestic roles. And they were taught to be demure and to avoid drawing attention to themselves. And it was considered unladylike to engage in public speaking or express strong opinions. And if you look at women's fashion at the time, this really expresses that. This was the time when women were wearing tight corsets, where they would essentially try to make their waists as small as possible to the point where some would actually break ribs. And this reinforced the image of fragility and submission of women. And if this is something that women were taught on a large scale, it was these behaviors and this mentality was passed on from generation to generation. And if you move along into the mid-20th century, particularly during the 1950s and early 1960s, the media and popular culture reinforced traditional gender roles. And I have no problem with traditional gender roles. I think sometimes they can be really helpful. But women were portrayed as homemakers and mothers exclusively. And they were often shown in advertisements and TV shows as obedient and focused on maintaining a perfect home. And women were encouraged to speak softly and smile and defer to men's opinions. And the prevailing message that women received was that women's contentment and worth were directly tied to fulfilling these domestic roles and pleasing men. And unfortunately, that can translate into making sure that, you know, men didn't feel intimidated or uncomfortable. And that turns into taking up probably as little space as possible. And while the feminist movement has helped women progress in many ways, even today, smallness, literally and figuratively, is still encouraged. And diet culture is one of the major culprits of this overall oppression of women. So ladies, when you allow yourself to take up space and allow yourself to be assertive, loud, opinionated, colorful, joyful, expressive, you're actually demonstrating a level of freedom that hasn't been totally permitted until recently. And that's questionable in itself. So when people in the recovery space encourage you to take up space, it is a courageous, radical act. It's an act against diet culture and weight stigma and fat phobia, but it's also an act against sexism and racism and some really heavy hitter systems of oppression. So here are some ways you can take up space in your life. And it's really amazing. In one of the workshops within the Recovery Collective, I believe Dani Bryant, she's a therapist, asked our community if you could take up space in this world without judgment, what would that look like to you? And outside of body size, there were so many comments related to style, such as wearing rainbow tights and wearing high heels and brighter lip color. And it was just like people are taught to look a certain way, behave a certain way. And in reality, sometimes we want to imagine what we would do if there was no judgment placed upon us. How would we take up space in our lives? And, you know, I'm not here saying I'm perfectly comfortable with taking up space. I definitely love taking up space with my voice and having a podcast. And I'm actually a pretty loud talker in real life. But for instance, physical space for me is still a challenge. I am 6 feet tall and I feel so uncomfortable wearing heels. I honestly have a mental debate about this. Every time the idea of wearing heels comes up, I sometimes have to think twice about the setting because sometimes, if not everyone else is wearing heels, I will run into someone a lot shorter and smaller than me, or a man who's shorter than me, and I will feel as if I'm making them uncomfortable because I am so tall. And so sometimes I choose not to wear heels because I'm afraid that my height is going to intimidate people or make people feel inferior or make people feel uncomfortable, and it makes me feel uncomfortable that they're uncomfortable, and I don't even know if they're uncomfortable. So it's just this thing, an area of my life where I've realized taking up space in this way is still hard. Even in wedding photos, I've been in a few weddings where I am the tallest bridesmaid by like a lot because I wear heels and maybe some girls wear flats, and then the height difference makes me feel uncomfortable. So when I share all of these ways for you to take up space, I want you to reflect on ways you still feel uncomfortable taking up space and perhaps why that is. And a lot of times it has to do with us wanting to make sure the people around us feel comfortable, because this is something particularly women have been taught for generations, generations, and generations. So yeah, just reflect on that for a second. Are there any areas in your life where you still feel uncomfortable taking up space? Does the concept of taking up space piss you off? I know it pisses some people off. I know it makes some people upset. I want you to check in with yourself. Why? You might be dealing with some internalized sexism or internalized racism or fat phobia. And I just want you to be able to sit with that. Okay. So let's go through my list. 10 ways you can take up more space in your life. So one, you can take up space by speaking up. Women can assert themselves by speaking up confidently and articulating their thoughts and ideas in various settings. And this means not holding back in meetings or social gatherings or any situation where your voice deserves to be heard. And speaking up is so tricky because we do not like conflict, right? And I think so many women in particular are afraid to speak up because they don't want to clash with the people around them or make other people feel uncomfortable. So instead of speaking their truth, they keep it all inside. And I find through a recovery lens, speaking up can be very healing because speaking up is a way to transform uncomfortable emotions. So if something makes you angry, a way you can cope with that anger is by speaking up for yourself and advocating for your needs instead of keeping it locked away where the emotions just compound and compound and perhaps then you turn to an eating disorder behavior. So number one is speaking up for yourself and speaking up for the ones you love. Another way you can take up space is by being loud. And being loud in this context doesn't necessarily mean raising your voice, but rather making sure your presence is known. So express enthusiasm and laughter and assertiveness without concern for being labeled too much or too assertive. If you are loud and you're making yourself known, it is a form of taking up space and it is encouraged. And if you find you're uncomfortable by other people being loud, I want you to check in with yourself and be like, why? Why am I judging someone for this? So yes, being loud is number two. Number three is you can take up space with your opinions. And so one way that people stay small is that they don't share their opinions or they have very watered down opinions, or they just say things like, oh, I could go either way. It doesn't bother me either way, or whatever you want is fine with me. And you're being so accommodating. You're being so considerate of other people, but what happens when you don't express your opinions or your needs is you disown what might be important for you. And sometimes that can be really damaging to your life, right? Or it could be damaging to the project you're working on or your career. Like, it is important to express your opinions because, believe it or not, you might have the best opinion, or your opinion might have a positive impact on the outcome of the conversation. So it is important for you to take up space with your opinions. And it's also linked to speaking up. Speaking up about your opinions matters. It's okay to be opinionated. You have permission to be opinionated. And you can express your opinions as openly as you want. And this will be transformational for your life. All right. The next way to take up space is with self-expression. So self-expression is a powerful tool for taking up space. Women can showcase their creativity, personal style, and passions without fear of judgment. So this includes choices in fashion, art and hobbies. So in what ways can you express your true self? Think about your authentic self. Think about your healthy self. Who would you be if there was no judgment or no pressure on you to stay small? How would you express yourself through style, through art, through the way you decorate your home, through the hobbies and things you engage in? I spoke with a client recently who is making massive improvements in recovery, and it's like she's waking up to life and she's realizing that she has created a home where it's like a sterile environment. There's no color. There's hardly any furniture. It's as if no one lives there. And she's realizing she's entering the stage of recovery where self-expression can happen. So when you move out of survival mode, you can more tap into your authentic self and who you are. And you have freedom to express exactly who you are. You know, be bold with colors, take risks, go for the crazy wallpaper in your home. Self-expression is so important. And I also want to add self-expression as far as enthusiasm, like before. Okay, the next one, number 5, you can take up space by pursuing leadership roles. And there are disproportionate amounts of men versus women in leadership roles, right? And so when you become a leader, you are taking up more space. You have more influence. You have more power in the role that you're taking and on the organization you're with. So you can challenge the status quo by demonstrating your capability and willingness to lead and make important decisions. So when you become a leader, you get the power and the decision-making in your hands. This is also a radical act because that's not always how it's been, right? All right. So have you gone for the promotion lately? Have you, you know, asked for the raise? Have you volunteered or run for a leadership position on a local level? These are things that I want you to recognize you are qualified for. So many women I speak to dismiss their qualifications or minimize their qualifications, but honestly, you are more qualified than you probably think. When I was looking for jobs right out of college, I just had a bachelor's degree. I still only have a bachelor's degree, besides a PhD and having fun, having a good time, like I say in my intro. But I was looking for jobs. I found a public health job at a children's hospital. It excited me. But one of the minimum qualifications was you need to get your master's degree. And I did not have my master's degree. I was pretty bold when I was younger, and I just decided to apply anyway. And so I ended up getting the job. It was the perfect fit for me. At age 23, I was the director of a community program. I had replaced a woman with her master's and had been like just put in charge at a very young age. And I was probably not qualified. I had zero work experience besides like lifeguarding and babysitting. But what I have to say here is I really respect the part of me that decided to go for that job despite not being qualified. And I want you to think about that too, right? Just take a risk. Just go for the thing that you don't think you'll be considered for and see what happens, whether that's a promotion or a leadership role. Okay, the next way, the sixth way you can take up more space in your life is by sharing your achievements and success. So many people think it's rude or impolite to talk about themselves or to talk about their successes or their achievements. They assume it's boastful or inappropriate. But I really do believe that you should feel comfortable talking about the things you are proud of. There is nothing wrong with that. And of course, in turn, celebrate the achievements of others around you, right? So you're acknowledging the accomplishments you have while simultaneously supporting and acknowledging other folks around you. There is nothing boastful or overconfident or egotistical about that. So don't minimize how much you've achieved in your life. And I will say, on a personal level, being able to share my success with recovery openly has been inspiring to others, right? Being able to talk about how I was able to achieve that, which is a major accomplishment, has sparked this entire podcast and the Recovery Collective and my one-on-one practice. My entire career has been based around an accomplishment I achieved when I was really young, right? Like early 20s, mid 20s. And at first I felt really uncomfortable talking about this recovery journey of mine because of mental health stigma. But I realized that this inspires others and this story can be used to pull people into a new level of their life. And so I want you to be able to share the things that you've been able to do and acknowledge it and count the big victories and the small victories. In recovery, doing something simple like eating breakfast isn't actually that simple. And as a coach, I celebrate things like that as big successes and accomplishments for many of my clients. So being able to share your achievements, express your wins, acknowledge your victories, these are all ways of taking up space. Okay. All right. The seventh way you can take up space is by putting yourself first for once and set boundaries. These are kind of like two in one. So I find so many folks find setting boundaries to be uncomfortable, rude, and there are a lot of emotions charged when people set boundaries, right? People get upset, or it's going to be perceived as mean or rude. And I just want to remind you that boundaries are neutral. The word no is neutral. And so the reason why I want you to practice setting boundaries is because of what I shared in the beginning. Many folks, especially women, have been enculturated to be people pleasers and to say yes to everyone who asks them for help, or jump when someone says jump, they say how high, right? It's like there is always this stretching of yourself, spreading of yourself too thin when boundaries aren't put in place. And what happens is that leads to exhaustion and burnout. It also leads to a lot of resentment because you are agreeing to do things that you do not want to do. And it is exhausting and sometimes triggering to do things that you don't want to do or that don't feel right to you. So I say take up space by setting boundaries. Being able to say no when someone asks you to do something or even just to hang out is sometimes really empowering because you're actually taking into consideration your own needs. And additionally, when you take into consideration your own needs and act on them, it helps form confidence. And I have to remind you, putting yourself first by setting a boundary is not rude and it is not mean. You know yourself. Check in with yourself and make a decision. Is it a yes? Is it a no? Is it a not right now? And communicate that. It is not mean. It is not rude. Nobody is going to give you a sticker or a medal for saying yes to everything. No one is going to give you a sticker or a medal for burning out. All right. So remember, boundaries are neutral and they are necessary to protect your energy and to protect your space and your life and your emotions. All right. So take up space by setting boundaries and expressing them and essentially putting yourself first for once. Okay. Number 8 is slow down. You have permission to slow down. And slowing down is a form of taking up space. I haven't really tested this out, but I really do believe that there are individuals in the world who feel like they need to speak as fast as possible because they want to prove their intelligence or prove their worth or prove something by speaking really fast. And I sometimes feel like speaking fast is a way to go unnoticed because you can fit so much in a short period of time. And so I like to think of slowing down your speech as a way of taking up space. Being thoughtful and tactful with your words, slowing down can be a form of taking up space. And I also think physically slowing down is a form of taking up space. I think we are taught through capitalism that we need to go, 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 go to prove our worth. We need to produce as much as possible to be valuable in this world. And so slowing down is also a radical act of taking up space. So slowing down physically is very powerful. And if you are going a mile a minute and you feel uncomfortable with slowing down, why is that? You can spend a whole day doing nothing. And that is a form of taking up space, letting yourself breathe, right? Letting yourself rest. Slowing down allows for self-reflection, relaxation, and a deeper connection with your inner self. And that is a superpower, right? So take a moment to slow down and recognize that slowing down, even the pace you walk, it's so interesting. I used to be proud of myself for being a fast walker because I'm from the Northeast. And I still love a nice day where I am fast walking. But why am I in a rush? Right? Like, okay, so I'm fast walking because I'm late for meeting up with a friend. Right? It's like the world's not going to end if I slow down. And now I find it interesting because I still tend to be a fast walker. But then I see these like middle-aged, usually men, just strolling slowly in the middle of the sidewalk. And I used to get so mad and upset. Like the audacity of this person being so slow, casually sauntering down the middle of the sidewalk, blocking everyone from getting around. Like, I used to get upset about that. And now I realize that me getting upset about that has nothing to do with that person. It is okay to take it slow, to walk in the middle of the sidewalk. You do not have to move away for people. You do not have to get out of the way for people. So again, slow down. That's number 8. And then number 9 is taking up space through body language. Body language plays a significant role in taking up space, and you can practice confident and open body language, such as maintaining eye contact, standing tall, using expansive gestures. Nonverbal communication conveys confidence and self-assuredness. And so you can use body language to take up space. All right. And then the 10th way I encourage you to take up space, this might be the most important one, is to allow yourself to gain the weight your body needs to recover from your eating disorder or heal the chronic dieting cycle. Allow your body to take up all the space it needs to exist on this earth in an optimal way, in a way where your body feels health and aliveness. And that's going to look different for everybody because your set point is different from other people's set points. All right. So the size of one person's body is not going to necessarily want to exist in the size of another person's body, right? We all have different genetics. We have different ancestry, different lifestyles. And I want you to remember that you are allowed to take up as much space as you need to exist on this world. And there is nothing wrong with taking up physical space. There is a lot of weight stigma out there. There is fat phobia out there. And I do acknowledge that it is harder to take up space. The larger your body gets, the more uncomfortable it might be for you because you're facing things like weight stigma, fat phobia, anti-fatness. And I just want to acknowledge that's really hard, but there are people out there who are working to make the world safer for you to exist in the body that your body wants to be in. And I encourage you to explore life and try living life in the body that your body is meant to be in, the body size that occurs naturally. And it might be worth it. It might be worth the exchange of food freedom and mental healing to gain some weight. And what I encourage you to do is test it out. Try living in a larger body. See if you can build experiences that are positive while you are recovered, right? I know so many people who are recovered, who have recovered into a larger body, who have looked at me in the eye and said, I will never want to go back to my eating disorder. It is not a fair trade-off. I do not want to go back. That's never happening to me again. I do not care what size my body is. I have the tools to tolerate and accept my body on the days that are difficult, right? And some days aren't even that bad. You know, that is a real reality for so many people. So anyway, that's what I have for all of you today. 10 ways you can take up space.
All right, that concludes this week's episode of the Full and Thriving Podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of the show. When you have a moment, please head on over to Instagram and follow my recovery coaching account at Meg_McCabe to stay up to date on everything I'm doing in recovery land. And if you're feeling extra inspired, please send me a direct message to let me know how this podcast has impacted your life. I'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next week.